For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, that's right. It's Friday. Willie and Dibby. 888-957-9570.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Really?
You think they can win without Ayuk?
They can win without Ayuk.
All of it?
No. You crazy?
Sure they can.
The Super Bowl?
Jason LaConfora, Odyssey NFL insider. He came on with us yesterday, and we asked him that. Shanahan think he can be fine without Ayuk?
We know what Kyle's history has been at the wide receiver and quarterback position, and they feel like they can sort of create guys, right? And we can scheme things up. And I think it's also one eye into the future. Like, not just about giving Ayuk 30, it's about giving him and Purdy 95 or 100, or, you know what I mean? Or whatever that number turns out to be. And is that viable? But things have conspired against him, right? Pearsall can't get on the field. My buddy Baldy, you know, rewatching their first two preseason games, isn't impressed by the depth at wide receiver whatsoever. You know, he thinks that it's pretty egregious. And you're only one injury away from, you know, if Ayuk's holding out week one, hypothetically, and God forbid Debo gets hurt, then what are we talking about? Yeah, there's not a whole lot of there. So I'm sure that's part of how they're looking at it. But the guy they drafted to show him that, hey, you're not all that, hasn't gotten on the field. So if you're Brandon Ayuk and you're looking at this same film and you're around the team and you see what's going on, like, really? 1,342 yards? You don't, no big thing? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I mean, go ahead and replace that.
The Pearsall thing is really unfortunate. I don't mean, like, from a leverage standpoint, but it is really unfortunate that is not an option right now. That's unfortunate, you know? And if Brandon is using that in his favor, okay. You know? I mean, dance with the date you brought. That's fine. That worked in your favor. But I'll admit that. I would feel a little bit more comfortable as a 49er fan if there was, like, even if you didn't know whether you should believe in it or not, you know, from a skill set standpoint, you could look at that and at least be like, well, maybe that'll work out. Maybe he'll be good week one, two, three, somewhere in there. But like right now, I don't even think that he's probably going to play in any of those games. I don't even think he'll be suited up.
No, I think that he's heading for one of the various lists, whether it's IR or PUP. I don't know, but he has not been able to actually play football. And he played a little bit in practice, and he got hurt, and then he got hurt again, and then, the shoulder. And now the shoulder appears to be a lingering issue, and so now he's not playing tonight, and it doesn't seem like he's going to be ready to go. He might still be ready for week one. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. And, you know, you could look at Chris Conley, a guy who is 32 years old. He's been in the league a long time. He's a professional football player. And he was a chief, and he played pretty well last year in some spots, a few spots where you needed him, and you could lean on him. But if you're going with Debo and Conley as your two wide receivers and Juwan as your third down back, for me, you're not good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Can we find a different word? I'd like to find a different word.
Van?
Arrogance.
Okay.
Because I think you're right in sort of pushing back on that. We're like, well, wait a minute. Because, in fact, you read the definition of it to me yesterday. And I'm like,
right.
It's a little bit more striking and negative than I even sort of.
Yeah.
Because to me, arrogance and confidence are like neighbors.
Right. But arrogance.
But you were like, No.
Arrogance is in a gated community. Confidence is a really nice house on a good street. Arrogance is a mansion in a gated community.
Luck and Four is talking about, like, this is just Kyle's way. His belief is that their system can make guys. And if you want to trace the history of the name Shanahan in the league, they ain't wrong. They ain't wrong.
Well, it took Mike a long time to finally get there get over.
But what's funny is people will be like, this Shanahan guy thinks he can just make people out of nowhere. And the same person will be like, this Purdy guy is totally a product of the system. it's kind of opposite points, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, that's like if you believe, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo went to a Super Bowl and then in his next professional outing, he made Devontae Adams lose his bananas. Right. Those are the latest two things that he's done in the league. Go to a Super Bowl and drive Devontae Adams insane. So how did Kyle do it? How did he do it? And is he doing it again? I think is actually a national debate that continues to rage.
On is he doing it again?
Is he?
Is Brock Purdy just a product of the Kyle Shanahan system?
Is he doing it again? Are we literally watching the same thing again? And some way, somehow, because I don't know what's going to happen next. We've all decided he's just going to sign a $60 million contract and off to the sunset we go. And there will probably be at least a couple of Super Bowl Lombardi trophies and parades and the Hall of Fame. And thank you for coming. But this could just as easily, 2 years from now, this could be, dude, what the hell happened to Brock? And why is this like, why is this not feeling right? Why'd they pay him? You know, when Jimmy Garoppolo walked in here and won six in a row, and by the way, before it sounds like I'm arguing this, I'm not. They're not the same player.
Exactly.
I don't believe. I'm just saying I don't know what's going to happen next. And there are those of you out there who believe that Brock, in some way, shape, or form, even if just a little bit of him, is a product of the system and what's going on around him.
I believe that.
Okay,
for sure.
So why is Brandon that?
Well, yes, of course he is.
Well, then what are we talking about? Then we should not be this scared of the idea of Brandon not being on the team.
Well, we should be because there's no replacement for him. And similarly,
that we know of right now.
Well, fine.
Make another one.
Okay. Make another Brandon.
Make another one.
Okay. Chris Conley, 32 years old, journeyman. Go ahead and you go be Brandon Ayuk. I don't like his chances.
Okay.
Juwan Jennings, you've been a third down back and you've made some plays. You've been pretty good. You go be Brandon Ayuk. I don't like those chances. And Ricky Pearsall, first round pick, rookie. You said yourself, rookies don't often pop right away.
Not often.
And this guy can't even get on the field.
Not often.
Because he's so hurt.
But it's allowed.
It's allowed, yes, but... And you've got Cowing, who is behind schedule, and none of these guys are going to hit the field and be Brandon Ayuk. So, yeah, go be Brandon Ayuk. How long will it take?
I don't know.
What will that mean?
5 weeks.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe longer.
Or maybe none of them are Brandon, but they're a reasonable facsimile, or at least if they're 80% of Brandon, and you're doing that for $5 million instead of 30.
Maybe that's what Kyle Shanahan thinks.
Maybe that's what he thinks.
Well, he had better be right, because if you start the year or you go 9-8 and you don't have Brandon Ayuk because you traded him to Washington and Pearsall and Cowing aren't good enough and Conley is a journeyman and Juwan Jennings is not a real receiver, I mean, and your team isn't very good.
If you traded him to Washington, you've probably got a crap load of draft assets to take another shot at wide receivers next year.
Yeah, and maybe you can go out there and do another third round miss like you tend to do every single year.
Or without spending money on Brandon Ayuk, maybe you got a bucket of cash to go shopping with.
Sure.
I don't know.
And then you take another year and you just piss it away because you chose not to bring back a good receiver.
I'm not saying that. I'm trying to get inside Kyle's head.
Well, and if you were playing the arrogance part of this, which it's not arrogance, it's supreme confidence.
Yeah, belief. It's belief in what he's doing, right?
And that's what you want in your head coach.
Totally.
Right? And, you know, his dad is a 2-time Super Bowl champ, and his dad's an NFL lifer, and he grew up around a lot of smart NFL minds. And so, yeah, he's got a very good background. He's got a lot of confidence. And you know what? He's done very well as a head coach of the Niners. So, of course, he's going to be confident, supremely confident. But this is a whole nother thing when you try to, you know, take a receiver who's an all-pro and maybe replace him over money. And it's not his choice completely. I know that. It's John Lynch and it's Parag Marate and it's ownership and it's more complicated than that. But that's a big risk when you take a player who has grown and played with you and done well with you and you just are going to move off him and pivot.
Well, I mean, at a minimum, I would argue at this point, while I acknowledge we don't know what we don't know, I don't think the 49ers have treated this. I don't think that you could argue that they're treating it in a dismissive way. I don't think that any, right? Does anybody think that? That the Niners just like, we don't need Brandon.
No, but
like
he's
they're
not.
They're trying their butts off and the guy won't say yes to anything.
Well,
that's
maybe
how it feels to me.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
because we're not just talking about the Niners. We're talking about four football teams. We're talking about four football teams. This guy's got like 12% of the league has tried to pay him. And then, no.
Yeah.
Ah.
Well,
what do we do? You know what I mean? So like if it's got to be somewhere in between this idea of like, well, the Niners just think they could do it without him. Well, no, they clearly don't. They're trying to pay him. They're trying to pay him, I think.
Right.
It sounds like it.
Well, they're trying to do whatever they're trying to do, but this thing should have been resolved a long time ago, and it shouldn't still be dragged out into August 23rd. And I remember talking about this in early August and late July and late June and mid-May and certainly late April when the draft was happening, and yet it still is a thing. So, yeah, they're trying to get resolution, but they could easily have resolved this a long time ago by either trading him or saying, you're playing on the fifth-year option.
Right. Oh, I'll
We're
buy
done.
That.
We're
I'll,
done.
I'll buy that. But like,
and they bought into all of this.
Like, who doesn't think that the 49ers miscalculated this? Of course they did.
Yeah.
I bet the Niners would tell you that. Don't you think?
For sure.
Don't you think the Niners would be like, yeah, this like, wow, in April, we didn't think any way in hell it was going to look like this on August 23rd. No way.
Yeah.
So they've miscalculated this. I'm not going to absolve them of that by any stretch. Here's one hell of a text. Thank you, 813. Check this.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Out. All right, how long will it take one of these other receivers to replicate Brandon week 3, week 4, week 5, week 6? How long will it take Brandon to replicate Brandon? Week 1, 2, 3, 5, this year at all?
Oh, if he comes back?
Evan sat in that seat and said, history tells us that we have already passed the threshold of when Brandon could be his full self this year. Debo, no. Bosa, no. So now we're like hell bent on having Brandon, and it might well be possible that that doesn't exist in any form, even in the form of number 11.
Yeah, this year.
So now what?
Well, then,
if you assess that Brandon can only be 70% of himself, then yes, let's just do Pearsall and hope he's 70% of Brandon. If I'm the business offices of the Niners.
Yeah. Well, and I think that Debo was more than 70% of Debo. And I'm trying to think what year that was. Was that 2022?
He's coming off of that great, great year.
Right.
And he was, I mean, statistically, he was nowhere near as good.
He was hurt. He played 13 games.
Yeah, and well, he always hurt. He always misses three or four games.
Yeah, so that makes it so, you know, you need Brandon Ayuk even more. But 56 catches, 632 yards, and two touchdowns receiving. Two touchdowns.
Two.
In 2022.
That's crazy.
He played 12 games.
He had more than that against the Eagles last year alone.
Seriously. So
That is wild. That's wild. Yeah, I mean, that's why I think the clock says what it says. Like, we've probably already reached a spot where the production out of that position has now been depressed. Probably.
Well, and you drafted a guy hoping that if this went the way that it's gone, that you'd be able to at least use him. And it doesn't feel like Ricky Pearsall is going to be a guy you're going to be able to use, at least early in the year. And Jacob Cowing is, quote, behind schedule, and I don't know if he would be a guy who could play the X receiver spot and be able to do what Brandon Ayuk does. So what are you going to do when you want to throw the football this year? A lot of George Kittle. He probably is going to rise on your draft board.
But I mean, aren't we probably looking at this in a way that's not real? I think that our brains have no choice but to work that way because we're all like getting ready for drafts. We think about the individuals on the board and going out there and putting up numbers and producing. Doesn't a football coach look at it more almost like a geometric sort of equation? You know what I mean? Like, how are we going to throw the football? Well, like, there are other wide receivers on the team.
Right.
I can scheme them open. Like, doesn't Kyle... Like, I can scheme him
sure.
open, and Brock,
for
will,
sure.
Brock will find him. Brock can throw to Chris Conley. We can get a first down there.
Yep.
Right? And George, and Debo, and Christian, and they like Jordan Mason, and Juwan Jennings, and the young guys can come along and get better each week. Like,
to your point, what percentage of targets do you think that Brandon Ayuk got last year?
What percentage of all targets?
Yeah, there was 471 targeted throws made by the Niners.
Well, I sort of know exactly. Didn't he have 105 targets?
So correct. So 22%.
Yeah.
So 1/5 of the targets. So yes, as we go through this exercise and this conversation and we all want to talk about Brandon, can you survive without Brandon? I don't think you're a Super Bowl team without Brandon. And I don't think that you're a good enough team without Brandon. But he had 105 targets out of 471, which means
almost
366 other passes were thrown where he was not targeted.
Right. So you could say that almost did just like 80%. 4 out of 5 times when he drops back, he's throwing to somebody else.
Correct.
But are those people more open because Brandon's on the field and drawing defense?
Like, This is
more complex than we make it.
It is, but I also look at, you know, the way this offense is run, and he had 105 targets, Kittle had 90, Debo 89, and McCaffrey 83. So those four guys had all but about 80 of the targets. Yeah. So is one more important than the other three? Probably not. The collective of the four of them accounted for darn near 85% of the targets. So to your point, like, if Brandon's not out there, is it harder for George? You're damn right it is.
Well,
is it harder for Debo? Sure.
No doubt.
McCaffrey's are different because he gets, you know, a lot more of the check down stuff.
I'd also say this, and I think that this is a fun discussion, but to me, like, I will die on this hill. I think there's a correct answer to this. Even though it's an opinionated answer, I think it is factually correct. Those four players you just mentioned who gather all the targets for the 49ers, if you went to Kyle Shanahan and you said, I'm sorry, you have got to give one of those four players up. Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Debo Samuel. I'm sorry, you've got to pick one, and we're taking him away from you. Who is he picking?
I don't want to have to pick and stuff.
But you have to, you know, coach.
I mean, if you think about it and stuff, I mean, McCaffrey is my bell cow and stuff, and, you know, Kittle's really good in the run game and stuff, and I like what he does as a tight end and a blocker, and Debo is a difference maker, and he's the yak king and stuff, and so, you know, when I think about it and stuff. And I guess I have to make a choice, and it's going to have to be Brandon Ayuk and stuff.
All right. So of all the target monsters on the 49ers.
Too many stuffs or none of that
stuff?
No,
I thought you nailed it.
Thank you.
But $30 million a year for the guy that you
possibly.
Think,
thank you.
You think you're is right. The least important target monster of your target monsters.
Right. He leads in targets, and he wants to lead in money, yet he would be the first one and stuff that you would probably part with.
No question. No question. Let's go to Mark Grandy. What do
Let's
you got,
Let's go to Grandy.
What do you have, Grandy?
Nothing monumental. Mike Garofolo, though, just on NFL Network, providing another Brandon Ayuk update.
For
it's not,
out,
we
not
got some
worth,
fresh Ayuk.
We got
it's
fresh
not,
Ayuk.
It's not worth getting the sound, so
and
I
is
won't.
Is it Garofolo?
It's Garofolo. Okay, it is. Yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo, Mike Garofolo.
I said it right, right?
You said it correctly.
But be careful. Evan gets very mad when you correct people on Garofolo. I texted Steiny about it 2 weeks ago, and they made it sound like I was a snooty patootie because I helped him out. I'm like,
arrogant.
It doesn't. Well, I am, but it doesn't. It doesn't rhyme with Garoppolo. It's Garofolo.
Jimmy Garofolo
anyway,
and Mike Garoppolo.
Thank you. What do you have? What did Garofolo say?
On NFL Network. He said, everything we've heard for the last month now, the only new thing is that he can report that Brandon Ayuk has traveled with the team to Vegas.
Hey!
So, I don't know. He said maybe that's a sign of good faith.
Maybe, or maybe it's not.
Maybe not. It's a sign of a guy who wants a free trip to Vegas
totally.
Is what it is.
He's like, you know, I do like that Bellagio.
If they were playing
I do
at
like
Cleveland, there's no chance in hell he's on that flight. Seriously, Niners at Cleveland. Sorry, coach, my back. I just can't.
Right,
I just can't get on the plane,
at the risk of the most annoying conversation of all time. If you're about to get traded, are you flying with the team to Vegas for a preseason game that you're not playing?
Probably not. Probably not. I mean
that is, I am a tiny bit surprised.
That he's with them?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Again, just a tiny bit, but that's.
The whole idea of him being traded for me is so last week. And it's even 2 weeks ago, I think that...
4 weeks ago, it didn't make any sense.
Well, 4 weeks ago, I thought he was gone.
I know, but it you know me, I've said,
right.
If you just, not the reports, boil
sure.
down the action, it never made any... I've never really bought that this doesn't make any sense to me that these teams are like, so we've decided that Brandon Ayuk is so amazeballs that we not only want to pay him everything in the wide receiver market short of Justin Jefferson, and we'd like to give you a future two and a five and our best receiver. That GM should be fired. So it never, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right. We're a Super Bowl contending team and you're a really good player. You're a Pro Bowler. We want you out of here.
And that too. Yes. The Niners have a Super Bowl to go win.
Sure.
All right. So that's good.
That's great. He's in Vegas with the team, which tells me that, you know, the blood is probably not that bad. Shout out Taylor Swift.
Maybe he sat in the back and Kyle sat in the front.
Yeah. Maybe he held in on the plane. He didn't talk to anybody because I'm not.
That means something different on a plane.
When you hold in?
Well, the bathrooms are very small and these are big people.
Yeah.
Are the bathrooms bigger on those planes, I would imagine?
Nope, same bathrooms.
Offensive lineman goes to the bathroom in one of those
things? I will say this. When I had the rare opportunity to fly on the Sabercats charter, when Bob Fitzgerald was doing play-by-play for the Sabercats and the Warriors, there was times when there was a Warrior game and a Sabercats game, he couldn't make the trip.
Okay.
I got a chance to do play-by-play for the Cats.
And
I got on the charter.
And?
The charters are incredible.
Yes, they are.
It's a regular size plane with only 70 seats. Instead of 240 seats.
Go to the bathroom?
A couple times. I went to the bathroom by myself.
And?
Spacious.
Okay.
I read a book in there.
That's what I'm looking for.
It was nice.
That's what I'm looking for.
No, but every seat is a first class seat.
Yes.
You could recline.
Yes.
I may or may not have taken an Ambien.
Oh, yes.
I may or may not have been asleep for 7 hours on the way to Tampa.
You know what else happens on those planes?
Yeah, it does. Oh, no, sorry. No, what happens is when you get
don't talk about that.
Randy, what happens is when you get on the plane.
What is going on here?
There's like a spread of food. It's like a buffet.
Thank you. The first time I flew with USC.
Dude.
Whoop. First time I flew with USC. Eat your heart out, Lucas. Enjoy Scottsdale. So
I'm going to eat it.
First time, because it wasn't the only time. The first time I flew with USC was the first time I was like, oh, the bad food on a plane thing is a complete scam.
Totally.
They make you think, they're like, it's not like we could just have a kitchen up here. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
The food can be amazing on a plane.
Si se puede.
Scam.
Dude, this was the Arena League, too. Just one more quick aside. The Sharks actually used the Sabercats plane, not the other way around.
That's sad.
No, the plane was sick, dude.
That's sad.
Shout out Fry's Electronics.
I know, but it's still sad. All right, we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We'll continue the conversation, but also coming up.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.